I want to talk to us this morning about Bible fools. Bible fools. Now, what is a fool? Well, a fool is a man whose stupidity is proven by his actions or words. Webster defines a fool as one destitute of reason, a silly person, a buffoon. Now, I once heard a story about a preacher who kept a suggestion box in the foyer of his church. And every Sunday evening, just before the service started, he would go back and pull all the notes out of that suggestion box and then read them to the congregation before he preached the sermon. And so he got up in the pulpit and he opened up one of the notes, and there was nothing on the paper except one word. It said, "Fool." And the preacher looked at his congregation and said, "You know, I've had a lot of times over the years where folks have written me letters and forgot to sign their name. But I believe this is the first time that anybody has ever signed their name and forgot to write the letter." You know, the word fool is a strong word. Vine says the word signifies without reason. It shows a want of mental sanity and sobriety, a reckless and inconsiderate habit of mind, the lack of common sense perception of the reality of things, natural or spiritual. A fool is not the person to be. And yet, in spite of all these definitions, in spite of all these strong words, in spite of what this word fool denotes, we look around us today in our society and we see countless people who perfectly fit the description of the word fool. Now, I want to spend a few minutes this morning talking about some Bible fools. Number one, I want you to consider the rejecting fool. The rejecting fool. Now, these are those who reject the words of Christ. Now, in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, Jesus gave what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And then as he concluded that sermon in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, he told us that popular story, that story that we put to song and sing to our children. It's the story about the man who built his house upon the sand and the man who built his house upon the stone. Now, you get the gist of the story. Matter of fact, Jesus tells us the application. He says, "He who hears these words of mine and does them is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. But he who does not hear, but rather he who hears these words and does not do them," Jesus said, "he's a fool." He is a fool. He's like the man who builds his house on the sand. The storms come, the rain, floods come up, and that house, it shall fall. Now, there are many in the world who do not put into practice the words of Christ's doctrine as recorded in the New Testament. The Lord says they're fools. The obvious are those who flaunt their wickedness in drinking or adultery and fornication and cussing and drug use, and the list goes on. In Romans 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness." They suppress the truth in righteousness. In verse 22, we're told that professing to be wise, they become fools. These people are fools when they turn their back on the living God and decide rather to live a life of pleasure, a life of sin. But you know, there are also those who are religious morally. They're good people morally. And yet they refuse to put into practice all of the words of Jesus. Listen, just being religious and morally good will not alone save. One must be religiously right. A few verses earlier in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus had predicted the eternal punishment of some extremely religious people. I mean, you read about these people and the things that they did. And the picture is of Judgment Day, and these people, these religious people, are standing before the Lord and they're trying to make an argument for their case. And they're saying, "Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name, Lord?" I mean, they did many things that from man's standpoint were good works. And yet Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What's the problem? He said, you who practice lawlessness. Now, the Greek for lawlessness is anomia. It means violation of the law, transgression of the law, to act as if there was no law. Listen, it's not enough just to do good works. We have to do the good works that God authorizes. Those of Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, remember that? The Apostle Paul writing there, writing about his brethren of the flesh, that is, the Jews, that he loved very desperately. Matter of fact, he said in Romans 10:1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. That tells us that they're lost. Paul wouldn't pray for them to be saved if they weren't lost. And then he says in verse 2, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. And so they are zealous for God. They're very religious people, so what's the problem? Paul said, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. You see, there's one way that seems right to man, and this seems like the right way, and it seems okay, and I just feel okay with this doctrine and this teaching, and I just feel good, and I feel good about my salvation, and I feel good about myself. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. Proverbs 14, verse 12. These people were zealous for God, and yet they were lost. Think of those today who reject the plain teaching of the Lord's words in Mark 16, 16. The Lord said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You open your Bible. It's still there. I don't care what translation you have. And ever since the Lord said it, men have been trying to reject it. Some men have tried to claim that it doesn't really belong in the Bible. Well, that didn't wash. Too much evidence shows that it does belong in the Bible. And so they began to try to change the words. And they made it multiple choice. Jesus says this and this equals salvation. But they don't view it like that. They make it multiple choice. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And they said, well, let's pick one. Let's pick believe. He who believes shall be saved. Jesus didn't say pick one. He said he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You have to do both. People are rejecting the words of Jesus there. And Jesus said they're fools for doing so. In Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Just do what the Bible says, nothing more, nothing less. Proverbs 13:13, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, trust in God, not in the wisdom of men. Number one, there is the rejecting fool. Number two, not only the rejecting fool, but the resourceful fool. Now this is the one who's just too busy with the business of the world to be busy in the kingdom of God. Jesus speaks of this man in the parable of the sower when he describes the thorny ground in which the cares and the riches of the world choke them out so that they bear no fruit. Now this is a real danger because many of these think they can buy their way into heaven. These are the ones who think that just because they put large amounts in the collection plate, the Lord will surely not reject them on the last day. Let everybody else do the work. I'll just put money in the collection plate. Now, the Bible does enjoin us to be liberal in our giving, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7, but it never teaches that this excuses us from being fruitful and active in spiritual endeavors in our life, like teaching the lost. Those in Acts 1 to 4 who were persecuted and scattered from Jerusalem, verse 4, went everywhere preaching the word. That's what we ought to be doing. We need to be faithful in our attendance. Hebrews 10, 25. Not just picking and choosing which assembly we want to attend, which church service we want to attend when it's convenient, but being faithful to all of them. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Remember the question of the Lord, Matthew 16, 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? People out there, oh, they're working so hard, they're so busy, that they put too much time in that. They're neglecting their families. They're neglecting other aspects of their life. And they are neglecting their service in the kingdom. I'm just too busy. Got too much work to do to go down there to every service, to be out teaching the Bible and sharing the Lord with other people. I'm just too busy. But look how successful I am. Listen, you are an utter failure if you don't live your life in diligent service to the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:4, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. For riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 11, verse 4. Remember the rich fool in Luke 12, verse 15 to 21? That rich fool, oh, that fool. And Jesus tells us very clearly in that passage in Luke chapter 12, when he's talking about that rich fool, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. That's the love of money. And then he says this, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Well, what does it consist in? It consists in righteousness. It consists in being busy in the kingdom of the Lord. Bible fools, number one. You got it? The rejecting fool. Don't be a rejecting fool. Number two, the resourceful fool. How you doing in there? Here's number three, the righteous fool. The righteous fool. The Christian, or rather this is the Christian fool, the righteous fool, the Christian fool. Now wait a minute, isn't this some kind of a contradiction? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, does it, to say that a man is a fool if he's a Christian? Well, perhaps not. Nevertheless, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:10, we are fools for Christ's sake. Did you see that? We are fools for Christ's sake. You see, to the world we seem foolish when we don't join them in their drinking parties and in their carousing and in their other fleshly endeavors. In fact, they think we're strange because of the lifestyle we have chosen. In 1 Peter 4:3 and 4, Peter said, we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regards to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation speaking evil of you. They want you to come to their drinking parties. They want you to sit around the table and play poker and drink the beer and smoke the cigarettes as if that's what everybody does. And the sad thing is, most people do those types of things. Not the Christian. But man, you're weird. Well, you don't play poker? Well, you won't have a cold beer every now and then? You're a weirdo. You're strange. People think you're a fool. Listen, let me tell you something. It is infinitely better to appear foolish in the eyes of men and wise in the eyes of God than to be foolish in God's eyes and wise in man's eyes. There is a great shame and extreme judgment on the true fools of the world who live their lives devoted to fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Their entire lives are wrapped up in having a good time. But listen, there is no shame in being a faithful Christian. None whatsoever. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. Peter's talking about suffering as an evildoer, and he's telling them, don't suffer as an evildoer. Don't suffer as a murderer. Don't suffer as an adulterer. Don't suffer as a thief. Don't suffer as a drunk. Don't suffer as one who loves pleasure. A lot of people suffering today because of the pleasure they pursue. They have diseases. They have broken families. Lost loves, vanquished dreams. The list goes on. Why? Because they sought that momentary, fleeting pleasure of sin. Now, Peter says, don't suffer as an evildoer. And then he says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Bible fools, there's the rejecting fool. There's the resourceful fool. There's the righteous fool. Don't be a fool. Hear the gospel. Believe Jesus to be the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:9 and 10. And be baptized to have your sins washed away, Acts 22:16. That you may be saved, 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21. Listen, it's a strong word to be a fool. But when somebody calls you a fool, it hurts worse when you know that it's true. Don't be a fool. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.